Today, we are kicking off a regular segment we're calling Rights Watch, where we try to stay on top of the people who are trying to make it harder to vote. You have heard us cover state-level efforts to suppress the vote with everything from voter roll purges to polling place closures to voter ID laws. Now the federal government is getting into the business of vote suppression itself. This is largely by sending people to prison for voting when they weren't allowed to. Towards that end, the Trump Department of Justice has just subpoenaed 15 million voting records from select counties in North Carolina. Joining us to talk about it is Ari Berman. He is a reporter with Mother Jones. His most recent book, Give Us the Ballot, The Modern Struggle for Voting Rights in America. He joins us over Skype. Thanks for coming on.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Wow, sounds like a dungeon where you are. Ari, can you start with kind of the background on this story? The Trump administration is putting serious resources into prosecuting people for voting. Why?
Yeah, they are putting serious resources into prosecuting people for voting. Basically, I think the gist of it is that there is this investigation in North Carolina into illegal voting. They charged 19 people, mostly foreign nationals. A lot of them were like green cards. They charged them with illegal voting. And then what happened was after that, there was this massive request sent to both the State Board of Elections in North Carolina and also 44 counties in the state that asked for a ton of records. They asked for ballots, they asked for all voter registration applications, they asked for all poll book records, and we've never really seen anything like this before. And so this investigation that looked fairly targeted into a few cases of illegal voting has now ballooned into something much bigger.
So why do we speculate they would specifically target North Carolina, and why these counties in North Carolina?
Well, North Carolina has really been at the center of the voting wars in this country for quite some time. This was a state where the Republican legislature in 2013 passed some of the worst voting restrictions in the country. They passed the voter ID law. They cut early voting. They eliminated same-day voter registration. That law was struck down in 2016. The federal court said that it targeted black voters with almost surgical precision. And after that, there has still been a lot of rhetoric about fraud in the state. There will be a ballot initiative in 2016 to try to pass a version of the voter ID law through referendum that was struck down in court. And I think that basically there was a very zealous prosecutor there. The U.S. Attorney for the Eastern District of North Carolina launched this investigation, and he was able to get support from the Trump Justice Department where he works, and also from ICE, which is very concerning because ICE doesn't usually involve itself in matters of voting. And so the question is this just some isolated incident in North Carolina, or are we going to start to see these kind of collaborations between U.S. attorneys and ICE all across the country to go after cases of supposedly illegal voting?
The number of cases they've actually prosecuted is not very high. I believe it's in the very low double digits. The concern here is the chilling effect, the number of people it encourages to stay home lest they be prosecuted.
Yeah, and I think that the concern here is that usually you only prosecute people for illegally voting if they knowingly voted illegally, meaning they knew they were ineligible to vote and they did it anyway as part of some sort of conspiracy. Based on all the evidence we've seen here, the 19 foreign nationals who were charged were confused about the process. At least 9 of them had green cards, so they were part of the system, meaning they have other kinds of documents. And often people get registered to vote when they interact with government agencies. They don't realize they're ineligible to vote, and they mistakenly cast a ballot, not for any sort of malicious thing. So the concern here is that normally these are things that would be ignored or they would be a slap on the wrist. Not the sort of prosecution we're seeing now where there could be potential jail time. There are also other investigations in North Carolina where felons, ex-felons who were on probation or parole and didn't realize they were ineligible to vote, they also voted and now are being charged with felonies. And so, I mean, this is the kind of situation where it can have a chilling effect because people feel like, well, if I show up and I make a mistake, am I going to end up in jail for it?
So they've been able to prosecute cases without getting this kind of massive data dump. What would the records they're requesting let them do?
Well, the records they're requesting, I mean, they're so sweeping. We don't even know really what they would do with it. I mean, you're talking about 15 million records from the State Board of Elections. You're talking about 2.2 million ballots. They could potentially see how people voted. Based on that, they could trace those ballots back to a voter. So we don't really know. I mean, it lends itself to a lot of potential mischief in the hands of prosecutors, and there's a big worry that ICE can have this data, that they're going to try to match it with other records that could lead to some sort of inaccuracies. I mean, the thing is, a lot of these concerns arose when Trump had his so-called Election Integrity Commission that was chaired by Vice President Mike Pence and the vice chair was Kansas Secretary of State Kris Kobach. Now, remember, they sent this request to all 50 states asking for sensitive voter data. And there was a huge backlash against that request by both Republican and Democratic controlled states. Well, this is even broader than that. I mean, the stuff that you're asking for here, the U.S. Attorney in North Carolina is asking for people's ballots. He's asking for all voter registration applications for the last 8 years of the State Board of Elections. I mean, this is much worse than what was asked by Kris Kobach's commission. And so I think the fear here is that this could lead to a tremendous amount of overreach in what began as a fairly narrow investigation into illegal voting.
He's asking for the actual ballots, the pieces of paper showing who voted for who.
Yeah, and it's a little confusing because you can't get ballots that are cast on election day, but you can get ballots that are cast during early voting or absentee ballots. And that means that this request could lead them to have 2.2 million ballots that can be traced back to a voter. Now, they're saying that these ballots can be redacted, but I mean, the fact that they asked for the ballots in the first place, I mean, again, no one has seen this thing. There are times when, you know, there are fraud allegations in the last, for, you know, 50 ballots in a sheriff's race, you know, that may have had some fraudulent activity. But no one, as I recall, has ever asked the State Board of Elections with no prior notice. Because the other thing that you have to remember is this was something that the State Board of Elections in North Carolina, which was subpoenaed the 44 counties in North Carolina and Eastern North Carolina, which are heavily African-American, heavily rural, they were not notified in advance. Basically, what happened is they got all of these subpoenas via fax. I don't even know who looks at the fax machine anymore, but they got all of these, or even has a fax machine. They got all of these subpoenas over fax with no advance notice. I mean, this totally took everyone by surprise. What has happened now is the 9-member State Board of Elections, which includes 4 Democrats, 4 Republicans, and 1 independent, they have authorized the state attorney general to sue the U.S. attorney in North Carolina to quash these subpoenas. And so this has really been a bipartisan revolt against this request.
Speaking of Ari Berman, he's a senior reporter at Mother Jones. His book, Give Us the Ballot, The Modern Struggle for Voting Rights in America. We're covering one of the voting rights showdowns that's playing out right now in North Carolina as a Category 4 hurricane barrels towards it. The electoral hurricane is a request from a federal prosecutor for a massive amount of voting records. And this is a prosecutor who has been criminally prosecuting people who showed up to vote, who say they did not know that they did not have permission to vote. Ari Berman, let's talk about the kind of politics of this within the Trump administration. First of all, the prosecutor's a Trump appointee, I take it.
Yes, the prosecutor is a Trump appointee. He's actually a pretty powerful Trump appointee because if you look at the chain of command of the Justice Department, he is one of 11 U.S. attorneys who has the power to fire Robert Mueller. So, I mean, he's not just an ordinary Trump appointee. He's kind of a super appointee. He's also someone who was best known for prosecuting John Edwards, the former Democratic presidential candidate. So we don't know a ton about him, but clearly he's being very aggressive with these prosecutions.
And so, like, where is this coming from as a political issue, this concern with voter fraud?
Well, I mean, it's been something that's been raised by Republicans for a very long time. Donald Trump has ratcheted up those concerns by claiming with no evidence that millions of people voted legally. That laid the groundwork for him to form this Election Integrity Commission that many people thought were going to massively overstate the amount of fraud in the country and then recommend policies to make it harder to vote. That commission disbanded when it was hit with a ton of lawsuits. And now I think the concern is that they're basically trying to do it at the local level. what they were trying to do at the national level with this Election Integrity Commission that was disbanded. That this is just going to be the first of many U.S. attorney investigations. And what really worries me is that ICE is involved, because this is Trump's deportation force. This is the force that is separating parents from children. And suddenly now they're going to look for illegal voting. That seems way beyond their mandate, number one. Number two, I think it sends a message to all immigrants. If you vote, you could be prosecuted, even if you're here legally, even if you're a citizen, even if you've done nothing wrong. I think the fear is that they are trying to equate foreigners, immigrants, with illegal voting. And so that to me is a big concern. And I think that their involvement in particular represents a ratcheting up of this issue that we haven't seen in the past.
Yeah, that's something we've heard from immigration attorneys in other segments. There are tons of people who just aren't totally clear on what their immigration status is. They could be born on U.S. soil, citizens by birthright, still think they're subject to deportation. So this reminds me of the 2006 federal attorney firing scandal under the Bush the second administration. One of the charges there was that the administration was leaning on federal prosecutors to seek out cases of voter fraud and bring prosecutions. And people who weren't towing the line on that were getting fired so they could be replaced with interim appointments, which suggests to me that this is more than like Trump's fantasies that his 3 million popular vote loss margin was because undocumented immigrants went to the polls, that there's some kind of like organized apparatus in the Republican Party behind trying to make voter fraud an issue.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think we've seen that for a long time, particularly in the wake of the 2000 election in Florida. Republicans have really made voter fraud a key strategy so they can then put in place policies that would make it harder to vote to solve what is largely a non-existent problem. And so, I mean, you saw this begin in the Bush administration with the firing of U.S. attorneys, with the politicization of the Justice Department. I think Trump has taken it to a whole other level, though, because George W. Bush never claimed that 3 million people voted illegally. So, I mean, there were a lot of bad stuff that happened in the Bush administration, but this is a whole other level in terms of at least the rhetoric. And I think the fear is that we're going to see some sort of thing like this again. Now, Trump has already fired a lot of U.S. attorneys, so I don't know how many more Obama administration appointees there are left that they could fire. But I think they've put in place very conservative people to replace them. But it was interesting. I mean, one of those fired U.S. attorneys during the Bush administration, David Iglesias from New Mexico, who declined to prosecute voter fraud charges because he basically said, you know, there was no fraud to prosecute. And he was interviewed for the Huffington Post and said this reminded him of what happened back then, these subpoenas in North Carolina. And he basically said that he thinks that the Trump administration is trying to take a few cases of illegal voting and make it to be a big national issue. And he actually compared it to some of the rhetoric that we saw during Jim Crow, where you would see headlines that said, you know, black man rapes white woman. And he basically said it's like that, but they're saying, you know, foreign national votes illegally. And I mean, if you look at this task force that was started, there's this task force that was started by the U.S. Attorney for the Eastern District of North Carolina, and it was a joint project of the Justice Department and ICE. The press releases he's put out are crazy. I mean, basically, he had a headline that said, like, illegal fraudsters beware, and he had an exclamation point on the Justice Department press release. I mean, this is like a Trump's tweets, but in done from a U.S. attorney in North Carolina with a tremendous amount of power. And so I think that the concern here is that that this is going to spiral into something way beyond what initially was forecast, and it's going to be something that happens all around the country as well.
Ari Berman, let's talk about how it's playing out in North Carolina. You said the State Board of Elections is pushing back on it. As I understand it, their initial response was, this is so many records, if we tried to fulfill this request, we would have trouble running the next election. The Trump administration's backed off on its deadline. What happens next?
Well, yeah, that is right. I mean, the first thing that happened was the subpoenas were issued and they told the 44 counties in the State Board of Elections they didn't need millions of records within 20 days. And, you know, in North Carolina now, in addition to preparing for a hurricane, they're trying to protect the integrity of their voting machines and their electronic voting records. They're preparing for early voting. They're preparing for absentee voting. So they have so much going on already that complying with a subpoena would have just been impossible. So the Trump administration said, okay, you can wait till after the election. But that still begs the question, why do we need this information in the first place? And so the State Board of Elections, which has trouble agreeing on a lot of things, unanimously decided that they were going to authorize the state attorney general, who's a Democrat, to sue the Trump administration to quash these subpoenas. That lawsuit has subsequently been filed. And so now there's a confrontation between both Republican and Democratic election officials in North Carolina and the Trump administration over this. And I think if the Trump administration was deciding to try to replicate this strategy elsewhere, this is a cautionary tale for North Carolina because this really blew up in their faces.
Yeah, and it's not the first time it blew up in their faces. The Electoral Integrity Committee that was being chaired by Kansas Secretary of State Kris Kobach, that drew so much pushback, including from Republican secretaries of state, that it was effectively dismantled.
It was. And the thing that led it to be so controversial, in addition to the people that were staffing it, was the fact that they just requested all of the voting records from all 50 states. And I mean, I think election officials are willing to cooperate with targeted investigations. You say, you know, here's the problem. We have a few cases of illegal voting in this county. Can you help us get to the bottom of it? And election officials will obviously comply with that. But when you start asking for 2 million ballots, 15 million voting records, sensitive voter information from all 50 states, the question is, why do you need this? What are you asking for here?
Well, the worst case scenario, I mean, let's just call it out. If they had ballots showing how people voted and they had a really large data set of them and they had other data to correlate them with, it would let them make a pretty good profile of what signals that someone is a Democratic voter so as to target their vote deterrence and their vote prosecutions at that segment of the electorate.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the concern in terms of a targeted prosecution. The other concern is that, you know, you take a few pieces of data and you make a lot of mischaracterizations of that data. That was the concern of Trump's Election Integrity Commission, was that they were going to take voter registration data, they were going to run it against inaccurate government databases that are not meant to look for voter fraud. And they were going to say, hey, look, we found the 3 million cases of voter fraud that President Trump was talking about. And now, oh, by the way, now we have to have national voter ID laws. Now we have to have proof of citizenship laws to register to vote. And now we have to have voter roll purchase, all of these things that make it harder to vote. So only by lying and massively overstating the amount of fraud in the country do you then build support for policies that are going to make it harder for people to vote.
Ari Berman, pleasure talking to you. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Ari Berman is a senior reporter at Mother Jones covering voting rights. He is also the author of Give Us the Ballot, The Modern Struggle for Voting Rights in America. And that was our first installment of our daily election segment, Tipping Point. In a couple of weeks, we are planning to expand it to cover local and state races in California right around the time your ballot preparation booklets are hitting your mailbox. Let us know what you think upfront at kpfa.org. 56 days till the midterm.